In this episode, Marley Jax checks in, and together we talk about storytelling and vulnerability. Oh, and how to use that to speed up your sales process.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey-o! All right, all right. Man, this is weird. I'm coming to you right now, standing inside of my closet at my house. Why? Because I'm sequestered or quarantined like you are. And I'm working out of the house, and my wife and I are here, and this seems to be the quietest, safest place for me to do this introduction part of the podcast episode. So standing right next to my wife's handbags, I'm telling you right now that we are in a completely different world, and I don't know if we ever go back to a totally normal world pre-coronavirus, but I do want to give you a little bit of essential information before we get into the Marley interview. First and foremost, when Wendy was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2013, one of the top cancer experts in the world gave us advice on how to go through crisis. And she told us, she said, you guys are in your own boat. And you've got to stabilize that boat. And there can only be so many people in your boat during crisis, because some people are going to destabilize your boat. Identify the destabilizers, try to provide them leadership to stabilize your boat. But if they continue to destabilize your boat, you have to move on without those people, because your boat is only so big. Now, I want you to think about that in your life each and every day. You should be a stabilizing force in your life and in others' lives. You should be thinking about what you can do to get yourself to peak stabilization prior to interacting with other people. If you are sequestered or quarantined in your home, then what I would highly recommend you do is to carve out morning time before you start interacting with people, before you get onto your calendar and start interacting with clients or colleagues. Fitness First will give you the opportunity to nurture yourself so you can be a stabilizing force for others. Now, if you want to figure out what are the right topics for your business, we created a topic selection worksheet. These will help you identify the profitable topics. You go right through this worksheet, and in doing so, you'll have the different video topics that you should be creating. Super easy. You can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/topics with an S. And if you're interested in guaranteeing that your videos generate ROI, well, we created a mini course. It's a 5-part web-based video mini course where we teach our secrets for guaranteeing your videos generate a return on investment. And as a listener to this podcast, you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/topics. Now, Marley's really interesting. This interview is going to be fascinating. There's going to be multiple moments through this interview where you're going to hear her tips and tricks. You're also going to discover the different ways that I do it. We're going to give you resources along the way of people you should be reading who will teach you how to do this, but few people do the video part better than Marley Jax. So sit back. Here's my conversation with, oh, by the way, before you sit back, you could have heard this interview live when it happened for reals. I do it as a live stream, and I broadcasted it on LinkedIn Live and on Facebook Live. So on my LinkedIn page, you could watch it and ask us questions. In the Wirebuzz Insider Community group on Facebook, just search that up, Wirebuzz Insider Community. You could have watched it live and interacted with other people that are video marketers there. But most of my information is going down for reals on LinkedIn. And I drop little knowledge bombs throughout the day, because I really think that's like the primary place for me to be competing right now. But I'll always make sure that there's a live feed when possible inside of the Wirebuzz Insider Community. Now sit back and listen to this great interview with Marley Jax. Hi, and thank you for joining me right here on the Toddcast. Look, if you are interested in using video marketing, Or maybe you just kind of woke up in this world where you no longer have access to your prospects anymore, and you're trying to figure out how you take that next step and hack your way in and then develop a relationship. Well, developing thought leadership enables you to have an extraordinary impact. And if you love this topic, well, you just fell into the right conversation, because I'm joined right now by video branding and YouTube expert, Marley Jacks. What is up, Marley?
Hello, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. And look, I think a lot of people are just starting to wake up to this new world that we're in, the new opportunities. And you know, and you and I have certain skill sets of how we create thought leadership and how we take attention and move that through. So there's a lot of things I want to cover with you. And first and foremost, for people who may not know who you are, how did you get into video marketing? And then we'll get into all the other cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. I got into it by accident, which I think a lot of entrepreneurs can say similar. Yeah. I was a dental hygienist, and I knew that wasn't what I wanted to do forever, but it was what I was doing for the moment while I figured out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I started doing the dental office's social media just because I knew how. And their IT guy was like, hey, you're good at this. Can I refer you to one of my other clients? He referred me to all of his clients. And that's where I saw the opportunity. But like, hey, I could leave the dental industry, which I liked, but I knew that there was more for me. So I started making videos for myself to get more visible and to try to attract more clients. And some of those videos really started to blow up. And then I thought, well, how do I reverse engineer this to make it happen every time? And could I do this for my clients too? And so I dove deep and I studied and really just doubled down on video from there.
All right. Now I love that story, because I typically have discovered that our path, we stumble into our path. And we don't plan our path. It's just we become great at something. And before we know it, opportunity starts coming to us like we're a magnet for solving that kind of a problem. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, if I understand correctly, you typically help people use video to build their thought leadership on social and then transition their followers into a funnel, a landing page, a squeeze page, whatever the hell people want to call it, where they can go through some type of buyer's journey and make a purchase. Is that pretty much it in a nutshell?
Exactly. So we want to grow that authority and impact and turn it into profit.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So what is it about video, Marley? Like, I mean, I know, but maybe some people don't, that makes it so important for people to use video when building their thought leadership relationships.
Yeah. Like with video, it's one of the ways that we can most easily connect with our audience. Like, you think of reading a book, and how many times do you read a sentence? You're like, wait a minute, what did I just read? And the way that people are consuming content lately, now and in the future, like we have these devices, we have our phones, they're connected to us. They're like an extension of ourselves. And we're constantly consuming content when we're at home, when we're in the line at the grocery store, when we're anywhere. And it's a way that people can express themselves. It's how they can connect with it's face to face without being face to face. And it's also a way to share stories, and people have been connecting through stories since the beginning of time.
Okay. Now stories are really interesting. I want to spend some time on storytelling and story selling, but yeah, me too. But what I'm also interested in is in your real life, like forget about your use of video. When you're selling face-to-face, does Marley Jacks use stories situationally to move people through or help command their attention better?
Absolutely. For people that, there's this saying how people buy based on emotion and they justify based on logic.
Yes.
So when you're connecting with someone and you're selling, or I love how you called it story selling. That's exactly what it is. This story helps the other person on the other end relate to you, understand your values, know, like, and trust you. That absolutely sharing a personal story instead of the technobabble and the tactics and the facts, that's what's going to get people to like soften their hearts, open their wallets, and take action.
But there's also some tricks to being able to get them to soften their heart. And in most cases, if you don't use these tricks, people are like this. They put up their guard, right? Mm-hmm. And they protect themselves from being influenced. Is vulnerability of the person on camera one of the most effective ways of hooking somebody, developing a virtual relationship, and getting them to feel like they know, like, and trust you faster than anything else?
I love how you worded that. I believe that the strength of a story depends on the vulnerability of the storyteller. Mm-hmm. And I shared this, I share this from stage when I have speaking engagements, that I had a phase in my life. Well, that wasn't really that long ago. In earlier this year, I announced to the public, I changed my name. I was married. And then I had to come forward to my audience and to the public and change all of my branding to my new last name when my marriage ended. And that was really hard for me to do. Of course, there's all these thoughts of, what are people going to think? Do I look like a failure? What's going to be said? And I, of course, had the moment of, like, do I not share this? Do I hide? Do I stop creating content? Because why would anyone listen to me when it might look like I don't have my life together? Right. But I'm so glad that I had that split second realization that your life, you don't stop. The helping people doesn't stop just because your life isn't perfect. And so when I came out with that, and of course I was very tactful, and I really believe in what Brene Brown says about sharing the scars and not the open wounds, that I'm not coming out like a hot mess and, oh my God, my marriage ended, and cry and tears and everything. Of course, behind the scenes, there's moments for that. But I came forward with, you know, here's what happened. Here's what is happening. Here's how life looks now. And by me embracing that message, my audience embraced me, and my business has grown as a result, that because I was willing to get vulnerable and share, because it put my audience in a position where they trusted me, and it also gave them permission to know that no matter what they're going through, I can be a beacon of light showing that I'm doing it too, and you can too.
Beautiful. Now, as you were getting vulnerable with me, I heard myself say, "I like you, Marley."
Oh, right? I like you too.
But I mean, isn't that part of the secret? Like, you know, I've been quite vocal about struggling with learning disabilities all the way through when I got out of all the way to college, and right. I got a lot of help along the way, and a lot of people got me to the point where now today nobody would ever know that I used to struggle. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I've noticed is, The more that I share with people, the more that they connect with me on a personal level. And really, we do this in a human to human sales context on a daily basis. Women actually do it better than men, and because women are natural connectors, and they tell more vulnerable. Men have this, like, gloss and polish on the outside, and you don't find out about it for a couple of years what they went through. But the struggles that we go through, they make us. And like Brene Brown, it's the scar that's covered. It's the lesson and the healing that people really want to connect with. So that's super cool. Now, typically when you're working with a polished professional, the last thing they want to do is expose something about themselves that may be something that's a little private and intimate. How do you crack that shell and get them to share something about themselves that really opens up into a bigger story that allows them to influence people?
Mm-hmm. What I think is so interesting is that in the moments where we feel potentially weak by sharing that story is when your audience sees you as the strongest, because you are stepping out and saying, this is my heart, like blood, sweat, and tears, and raw and real and vulnerable. And so, yeah, for sure, there are people that they're afraid to expose that part of themselves because they think maybe it looks weak or whatever other excuse or objection they have. And the reality of it is to, like, look at the people who inspired you, that when you think of their stories, even in the movies that we watch, why do we cheer so loud at the end when the guy gets the girl or gets the job or wins the race? Because we saw how they had to come up from rock bottom. We saw the obstacles they overcame. We saw how hard it was. And so we cheer louder when they win because we witnessed the journey. Right. So when I talk to people that are, like, afraid to get vulnerable, I share that exact story saying your audience is waiting for you. And if you aren't willing to step into that, you're doing them a disservice, not just you.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like the more vulnerable we are, the more of a magnet we become. And it feels counterintuitive, but it's part of that yin yang process, or yin yang, depending on if your wife's a yoga instructor or not online. and so, you know, we had a very interesting experience here at our company in 2017. We had 7 to 9 employees get hired away by a very large company while we had 400 videos in production. While we had $500,000 in late payments from clients out, and Marley, I go on runs in the morning because I'm a fitness first person, and I have to get myself at the right mindset before I interact with people. But absolutely, I'd get halfway on my run, and the next thing I know, I'd either feel like I was going to start crying or have a heart attack. And the reality is, when you're running a business, being able to manage all of those different issues at one time is very difficult. And the people that you are guiding and influencing are going through very similar experiences. It's like Instabond, right? It's like, boom, here we are. And for us as business owners, my wife and I, it was really one of, in hindsight, thinking about that Brené Brown scar, one of the most valuable lessons we could have ever gone through, because, you know, Lord knows something's going to happen again in the future. It's probably happening right now. Yeah. And sure enough, we know that we're going to get through it. And I'm sure that people gravitate towards that type of vulnerability when you share it. And look, I like that. So when you use vulnerability, like let's say on LinkedIn, you use it in a video, and then you use that vulnerability to move people, use the vulnerability as the attention hack, and then you move them into a story, the story into how you can help service them through a similar problem. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, exactly. Because like we said, that's what allows people to connect with you, to know, like, and trust you, so that they will buy into the rest of the story. Because otherwise it's like, well, what am I listening for? Like, the best marketers are the ones that spend a lot of time in the story so that it builds the trust, so that the people will keep paying attention to the rest of it.
Right. Okay. Now, one of the things I find very interesting about you is you understand the social awareness part, how to hack attention on social, but then you realize, and many marketers can only do one of these tricks, but you've got a couple of tricks in your hat. And the other one is moving somebody from one platform onto your website and then moving them through a journey. Let's talk about the obvious. Mm-hmm. In case anybody doesn't know this, why do you want to move off of, let's say, the social network and onto a website?
Great question. You don't own that social network, Mark Zuckerberg, or whatever platform you're on. They do. So just because someone likes your page or is subscribed to your channel doesn't mean they're going to see every single thing that you post, because there's lots of competition and saturation and algorithms. And let's say Mark Zuckerberg shuts down Facebook tomorrow. If all of your eggs are in that basket, you're done.
Right.
So when you can get them to your website, onto your email list, onto traffic you now own, you can then reach out to them and really have your eggs in multiple baskets, like Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, email list, carrier pigeons, whatever your platform
love
is.
Them carrier pigeons and blimps. Big deals.
Yes. Smoke signals.
Smoke signals. That's the original marketing, by the way.
Correct.
And okay, so I think the stories are fascinating. And when you start to unravel the stories, do you start talking with, like, maybe the best salespeople and start figuring out situationally what stories people are telling, and then extract those stories and start creating videos around them? How do you get started?
I think it's so fascinating to look at your own stories, and even just when you're aware of the stories around you. When I work with clients, I get them to create a story inventory. So even going back to, like, your childhood, like, I actually had a really cool interview today where someone asked me, like, what are the things that happened in your childhood that made you who you are today? And so I had to think about that. Like, okay, I was kind of bullied in elementary school. My parents were both really hard workers. They both worked full time and then were great parents at night, very hands-on. And that impacted who I am today and my drive and my ethic, my work ethic. And then I also thought, you know, if I wasn't bullied as a kid, would I have this determination and grit that I have now? I don't know. So those kinds of stories make up who you are today. And when you can take those stories and relate them back to a lesson or a, just a piece of content that you want to be able to share. And it's not, it doesn't just have to be your childhood, but you can make a story inventory and think back to all the pivotal moments in your life or something that someone said to you or something you witnessed or observed, even what you might've overheard in the grocery store yesterday, whatever, that can become part of your story or a story that you hear from someone else. Like I think of the stories that I heard at events, someone on stage shared the story. And then I share that story saying that Tony Robbins said this, and then I tie it into my lesson and it becomes part of my content by sharing. And of course, crediting, referencing where it came from, that you have stories all around you. So sometimes when I work with people and they're like, I'm not a storyteller or I don't have an origin story. You do. You just have to be looking for it.
Right. And I've always thought of myself as like a fountain of content. And the reason is I used to be a talk show host. So every day for 4 hours, I'd have to come up with new things to talk about with the audience that was interesting or informative. And so I have the opposite problem, and it's just like a muscle for people who are like intimidated about the coming up with stories. The more you look for them, the more they will find you. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I could be at dinner and she'll go, oh my God, that's actually a great story. And I'll just write it down and add it into my list of things, but they're all over the place. You just have to be willing to look for it. Right.
Yes. Yeah. And how about like, I have a note section in my phone because that's on us all the time. You just write down that story. Oh, that becomes a piece of content later.
Or, use iPhone and use notes.
Yes.
Me too. The same exact thing, right?
You can scroll forever on mine. Absolutely.
Forever. Is that your primary place that you put it in and then it syncs up to your computer so you have them in both places?
Yeah, I have a Google Docs because I keep adding to it all the time. And then my notes section, I'll transfer it over to the Google Doc and try to categorize it or put some headlines for content or by chronological order or age. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, I do the same thing, except after notes, I put it in Trello and then start to organize them in stories. And jokes, I do the same way, because when you're on stage, you better be able to drop in a couple and you better have them ready. So that's fun. All right. So look, we're talking about funnels, moving people from social and onto a landing page and moving them through a funnel. And speaking of funnels, I know that you just had a really awesome appearance at Funnel Hacking Live.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of the golden glitter sneakers. Well done.
Thank you. Were you there?
No, I wasn't there, but I followed along and was just quite proud of you. And if somebody's interested in learning about funnels, where do you typically tell them to get started? You push them towards a Russell book?
Russell, absolutely. I'm actually promoting his Traffic Secrets that it's in pre-launch right now. It comes out in May and
we've already ordered it.
Absolutely. It's incredible. And so I'm pushing out a bunch of bonuses for people that purchase it through my link. Cause I want to win this contest.
Yes.
But Russell, everything that he Expert Secrets, his book before Traffic Secrets was just incredible. And I think that book has made more millionaires than any.
Hey, can we just talk Russell for a second?
Yeah, we can totally.
Okay. Does every one of his books have to be like a definitive guide to the industry? My God. Right? Like, slow down, dude.
Yeah.
We're all just trying to learn. It's really good information. And, you know, each of his books have been, if I like move out of the way on that desk right there, one of our copywriters, he has his stack of Russell books. If we move over to the strategy team's office, they have their Russell books. I mean, there's something really impressive that's happening with Russell Brunson and his logical connections from one step to the next in the buyer's journey is just really, it's really inspiring.
Yeah, he's such a wonderful man to learn from. And I mean, we talk about following people that we know, like, and trust. I have never heard anyone say a bad thing about Russell.
Well, in a world where you've got a lot of people doing bad things, it's refreshing to find a Russell out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. All right. So tell me about Funnel Hacking Live. What was that experience like?
It was the best day of my life.
I bet.
It was also really interesting. Let's get vulnerable for a minute. Everyone lean in close. All right. cuddle up. It was at a really pivotal time in my life because I had announced that my marriage ended 3 weeks before.
Wow.
And so I had all eyes on me for more than just the reason of being on stage. And it was just, it was crazy. It was amazing. And I knew that I had the opportunity to get vulnerable on stage because I knew people were watching, and there was almost, it almost felt like there was a, like, will she address it? Will she say something? Mm-hmm. And that's where I did say, similar to what I said before, that I announced a few weeks ago that my marriage ended, and I've never felt more like a failure. And I considered, do I stop creating content? But helping people doesn't stop just because your life isn't perfect and you have a message and your audience is waiting for you. And it was sometimes you have these like big moments in your life and you think back like, oh, would have changed this? There's nothing I would have changed. And beautiful. I got the most hugs and wonderful messages. And it was the best day of my life.
It's beautiful. I've noticed that there's this, there's a underlying force in our world, and I don't know if it's the motivation of love or the universe or God or whatever people want to call it, but redemption is a very big thing. And mm-hmm. that when people struggle and they ask for redemption or they ask to be renewed, as a culture, we love to embrace those people. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I've been together for a very long time, but I also know how fragile relationships are and how difficult that is. And I bet that it was awkward for you, but then it felt like the right thing to do. And in doing so, you ended up getting it off your chest, but you also made a lot more friends than you ever could imagine.
Absolutely. And it for people to come forward and say, like, you're one of the interesting messages that I would get a lot of the time, and I'll quote, it wasn't always worded like this, but I would get people who'd say, like, how are you carrying on? How are you growing so much in your business when your personal life is in turmoil?
Yeah.
And I want to say that they labeled it turmoil. I didn't call it turmoil, because for me, I looked at it and was like, absolutely, my life has changed a lot and there are painful moments, but I am not a victim of my circumstances. And what's the other option? To stay in bed?
Right.
Nope.
Well, we love champions.
They cheer louder when they win because you see what they went through.
That's absolutely right. All right. So look, you advise people on developing their relationships with prospects, and you advise them on storytelling. You know, why I've always looked at stories like the glue that holds your prospects' attention. Mm-hmm. It binds them to your solution. Do you see stories as like a primal thing? Is it a primal function that we're able to follow a story like we were when we were kids in first grade and the teacher would read the book? What is the deal about that? And are those stories just used on social, or do you also recommend them in the funnel?
I love how you worded that it's the glue that holds us together. I think there is an element of it that's primal. I think there is always a time and place for stories, and absolutely it belongs in the funnel, because no matter what the journey is for the reader, the viewer, the client, the customer, the purchase pathway, they need to feel, like we said before, they make a decision based on emotion. They justify it based on logic. And stories are what gives us the emotional shift, and your story has to be better than their story. And by that, I mean, you're breaking their belief systems there. If they have limiting beliefs of this won't work for me, or I can't do this, because your story has to overpower theirs and give them the shift, give them the emotional shift and belief to go, okay, I can do this because you gave me that shift. I know I can trust you. And because of that, here is my credit card.
Beautiful. Now, what are some of the limiting beliefs that you have to break before somebody gives you their credit card?
Russell talks about this, that there's the vehicle, internal and external. The vehicle false belief is like, this won't work for me. Whatever the vehicle is that you're trying to sell, whether it's a course or a product or a service or whatever, they believe that this mechanism, vehicle, won't work for me. The internal belief is usually like, I can't do this, whether it's an insecurity, confidence, whatever that may be. And then the external belief is something outside of them. My family won't support me, or my environment, or I have money, or whatever. And so it's based on things outside of them. So those are the most common things. And it's money, it's time, it's tech, it's talent. Those are the things that most people are the excuses for why they can't.
Yes. And as a salesperson, part of your job, and this is really for anybody listening, as a salesperson, part of your job, Marley, is to identify which of those, either the vehicle, the internal, or the external that they're struggling with, and then help respond with the appropriate either story or guidance, motivation that breaks that limiting belief pattern. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And being able to relate it back to a story to bring them on that journey.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get them through it. Instead of just facts. If I just keep throwing more techno babble at you, like, oh, well, this will work because it has this many gigahertz and the what? I don't know. Like, those are facts. They don't, that won't give them the emotional shift.
Because a buyer that does not have an emotional connection to the pain, the problem, is not going to buy. I know this because when my wife and I walked through, Wendy and I walked through the house that we ended up buying, by the time she got to the laundry room, and I don't know what the deal with the laundry room was, but she had an emotional connection and she was bawling. Wow. We were buying, right?
Wow.
Yeah, it was a beautiful laundry room. What enough to inspire tears.
That must be some laundry room.
I know, right? I don't know what it is, but like you see that. They have to have an emotional connection, and that means your stories have to connect with that person. When you're doing funnels, are the funnels is it like one size fits all, or do you get better results with persona funnels?
Well, what do you mean by persona funnels?
Well, like, maybe you have multiple types of prospects that have different pain.
Hmm.
Does the funnel have to identify with what they're going through right now when they come onto that page?
Well, ideally your funnel should be focused to the person, and so that's where you create your customer avatar, your demographic, your target audience. And from that, you should know what their pain points may be. And they may have multiple, but they can all still go on that funnel on that page. So like for me, time, tech, and talent, I address all three on my funnels. Because even if they're okay with the talent, maybe they're like, I am confident in myself, it's now the time. It's still relevant to them because they can still get it. It's still, maybe it was a past version of it. Because even for me, like, I might feel confident now on camera, but I know when I wasn't, and even reading that content on a sales page or something, I can still go, oh yeah, I relate to this. They know my problem that I used to have, which still makes me trust. Oh, and now they can address my time or tech objection.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right. I get that. I know my listeners do there. We talk about funnels and landing pages and identifying, connecting with that prospect when you bring them onto that page.
Yeah.
That's really cool. All right. So tell me about your Infinite Impact Challenge. I know it's going down for real, but give us an idea what's happening.
So every, we do this 21-day Infinite Video Impact Challenge. It is so much fun. And especially during a time like this where the economy is just crazy.
Right.
I know that people need a community, they need action, they need results. And in 21 days, we have hundreds of people that go through this program. And think of the name, Infinite Impact. These are people who are purpose-driven, impact-driven businesses that they are here to make change in the world when we need change the most. And so it's a $47 challenge. Every single day I'm in there giving trainings, doing Q&As, helping people to create their business or explode or pour gasoline on that fire of what they already have through video, through creating evergreen, omnipresent assets.
Beautiful. You know, what I'm seeing right now is almost every one of our clients is trying to figure out how they can keep getting in front of people, keep influencing them during this time where social distancing is such a big deal. Yeah. In fact, you know, maybe 60% of my clients are in the medical space, and their sales reps aren't even allowed in hospitals anymore. So their whole sales teams, some of these companies have 600 sales reps, can't even go and meet with their prospect. And so that's where these kind of like storytelling, opportunities are and using video and creating thought leadership. And I'm just inspired by what you're doing. And I'm grateful we had this time. And for people that want to learn more about Marley, just go to marleyjax.com. And that's Marley like Bob and Jax, J-A-X-X, and marleyjax.com. Marley, thank you so much for joining me on the Toddcast.
Thank you. This was such a great conversation.
Yeah, it really was. You're really easy to talk with. And I just realized that we already had done 30 minutes and it happened like this. But the knowledge transfer from your answers is really, really great. And I'm grateful that you did this with me. Thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to our next. Oh, I've got one last question.
Tell me.
All right. How long before, and I have a big stage appearance coming. How, and I'm being coy about it.
Okay.
How long before your appearance was your speech dialed in? Right?
I scrapped my entire presentation a week before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do it every time.
I changed it so many times and every day I was like getting my slides ready and I was like, okay, they're done. And I was like, oh, I have another idea. And so every day I was like adding onto my slides. And so I would say it was ready. Oh, and you know what? Actually the night before my presentation, I had sound check at 7 a.m. I was on stage at 10:30, but the night before at midnight, I'm like, I'm going to do a full run through. I've never done a full run through. I only had 28 minutes on stage and I did a run through with my girlfriend that was with me. She's watching my practice round. And she cuts me off at 40 minutes. She's like, how much longer? And I'm like, oh my God. And so I was like, I don't have time. I need to sleep.
Yes.
And it's just going to be what it is. And I talked fast and I got 29 minutes on stage.
That is so funny because I'm kind of the same way. I'm always in a polish, perfect iteration process. I'm that stone right. Going down the river that's polishing.
Yeah.
And I never give the same speech twice.
Good for you.
And then the other part about it is I also never time it before I do it because of all my years in radio, I can pretty much land the bird at the right time.
Yeah.
But I had to ask you that question because I know that as a perfectionist, you must be tinkering till the final moment.
I sure was. Yeah. Like I finished my slides while walking the sound check at 6:55.
That's how it's done. She's Marley Jax. Marley, thanks so much for joining me. For more information on Marley, just go to marleyjax.com. Marley, thanks again for joining
me. Thank you.
All right, fun interview with Marley. Lots of good information. She's pretty cool, isn't she? Like she got vulnerable with us. She told us some personal stories. And in doing so, didn't you kind of feel like you know her better? Wasn't it kind of like a magnet that just attracted you to her just a little bit more? Now lift that up as a blueprint and think about you and your content and how you could be doing that. Telling your stories, be a little bit vulnerable, attract people, make a personal relationship and move them through from your videos to the consideration or your landing page, your funnel, whatever you want to call it, but allow them to consider you as the right vendor or the right person to service their needs. And before you know it, you've developed a relationship of trust. They know you, they want to do business with you. And like my grandfather used to always tell me, he would say, people do business with people they have relationships with. So you always have to be in the business of developing relationships. And in this world, this new world, where we don't have physical access, where it's virtually social distancing in your sales process, you've got to figure out ways to command attention, to be personal, to be relevant to them, to be a little bit vulnerable, to get them to know, like, and trust you so you can move them through your buyer's journey and start servicing them and making their lives better. If you want to figure out what the right topics are for your business, download our topic selection worksheet at wirebuzz.com/topics. And don't forget about our 5-part web-based mini course at wirebuzz.com/ROI. You can get access to that. And I will teach you the Wirebuzz secrets for guaranteeing that your videos generate ROI. Now, please pay special attention because there's a lot more LinkedIn lives that are coming your way where I'm going to be interviewing people that are doing really cool things in the world of marketing and video.
And please make sure that you carve out time for yourself to do fitness first. It'll change your life and the way people see you. A little bit of a story. Now, this is me sharing. Man, I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you this, but I think it'll be important. I think if I look back at my life and in offices, I might have been a little bit aggressive with people on my team in the office. And when I had a company or when I worked for somebody else, until I started to be fitness first. When I became fitness first, when I started nurturing myself before I went in and interacted with other people, I was more aggressive. And then once I started doing it and taking care of myself first, I kind of became the Todd I thought I was. More chill, more relaxed, now more focused. So use this time when you're stuck in your home to figure out how you can care and nurture for yourself first thing in the morning. It is the only time that really belongs to you before anybody else gets into your schedule. We do it in our house at the crack of dawn. We're exercising as the sun is coming up. We're getting ourselves into the peak performance or peak state before we interact with other people. And the big picture here is this is your time away from your coworkers to start building in your new ritual. So when we're finally allowed to get back into the world and start interacting with people again, we're a better version of ourselves. And only you can determine what you need to do to be that best version. Fitness First did it for me. On behalf of the WireBuzz team, stuck in their homes all over the city of Phoenix, and me standing in the middle of my closet, I wish you and your family continued health, continued prosperity. I hope you're able to still sell and service people. And I hope you're able to be that trusted advisor during this quarantine time so your business doesn't slow down. And I will continue to do my job to bring you the latest information in the world of video marketing so you can be a video marketing master. Peace.